am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning, and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, March 6, 2024, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network, and as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. From pretty much every conceivable angle, it is a wild and dystopic ride, and so we will discuss some of that, the idea of war and that everything has been weaponized, including ourselves and everything about us, which is interesting when you think about it. The things around us are weaponized. Have you noticed? You perhaps have noticed that the basic elements of life, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the sunlight, these kinds of things have all been weaponized. I think it's interesting, driving around, there's an area in Montana, in the Flathead Valley area. William in Montana could tell you, Amanjabi could probably tell you, and some other folks. There's an area in the Flathead known as the Bypass now, and What's particularly interesting is you can see to this day areas that, well, historically, not that terribly long ago, were open range, but that are fenced off, and the fences are all deteriorating. They're all dilapidated, and as the years go on, it seems there's less and less to corral, and so those fences seem tired and not inclined to remain intact. Their integrity is declining. It seems to me it's a metaphor for America, but don't worry, we have, you know, beef and things that we can ship from places like Argentina and who knows where else, or, you know, maybe somewhere on the African continent we can ship you some things. And somehow that's less expensive and more beneficial than just growing it in our own backyard. Talked about some of this yesterday. So, you know, that's interesting. And to see the fields where things were grown not that long ago, and to understand how we have absolutely destroyed the fields and the, you know, things that would once graze on them, in turn, you know, the ecosystem all the way up to us is is in decline. It's under attack. It's fascinating to see that, to see the fields that have been destroyed by the psyop of whatever you want to call it, whatever term is used to market it, you know, the Terminator products, like Roundup, for example, that destroy the land. It's interesting to have you been out to what used to be farmland? Everything is becoming, you know, multi-use land now, and we can't build on that fast enough, even though we have infrastructure crumbling all around us. It's fascinating to see land that was used to grow things not too long ago that is along some kind of tributary, some kind of stream. Have you noticed, if you've driven by these pieces of property, that the foliage is dead, and I mean, it's kindling? What happened? I guess nobody thought of the fact that if you overspray Roundup as a crop desiccant, then the runoff will eventually kill everything around it and turn it into kindling. What might happen? What could possibly go wrong in that situation? But you know what? I'm sure that's not the case, because the manufacturers and the scientists they pay for tell us that's not the case. So obviously I'm the crazy person as I look out on the land and see all the dead foliage along the banks of the streams and so on. We play that Malcolm X clip on the regular, media manipulation. Don't let your enemy define terms for you. And it seems that that's what we do. And so today, the theme, I think, the overarching theme of today's broadcast is don't be stupid, nor suffer fools or their folly. It's dangerous. I touched on this a little bit yesterday. And I alluded to some things I think we'll dive into a little bit more today. And Carlo Cipolla's Five Laws of Human Stupidity is something that I want to sort of focus on. And so I think we'll do that today. As fate would have it, yesterday was Daniel Kahneman's 90th birthday. Earl Woods, too, by the way. Well, it was his birthday. It would have been Earl Woods' birthday, Tiger Woods' father. Anyway, Daniel Kahneman's 90th birthday yesterday, and John Baudrillard died on this day back in 2007. So we'll continue discussing mind trickery in the through the lens or in the context of don't be stupid today. Carlo Cipolla's Five Laws of Human Stupidity in particular. Interestingly, according to Cipolla, ineffectual people are neutralized. Are they paralyzed? Are they lukewarm? a la Revelation 3:15 and 16. And speaking of all things weaponized, what do you suppose it would look like if stupidity were being socially engineered? Would that perhaps be the ultimate weapon in the eugenicists' arsenal? They become weapons of mass destruction and mass. According to Carlo Cipolla, stupidity is genetic. It's just a genetic predisposition. God seems to disagree somewhat, maybe. There are a number of verses just in Proverbs, for example, that I would say correlate to this discussion. And I think that if you do a word search, if you haven't, it's an interesting word search for the word fool. In the King James or some of the other translations like NASB 95, for instance, the word fool is an interesting and fun search on the subject. One of my favorite verses when it comes to this discussion is Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid, in the NASB 95. God actually says that. Don't be stupid. He who loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. And there are many other passages. Maybe I'll unpack some of those. Proverbs 10:23, 11:29. 12:15, 13:16, 14:16, 15:5, 17:10, number of verses in chapter 17, verse 10, 12, 16, 21, 28, Proverbs 18:2, 19:1, 20, verse 3, 23:9, 24:7, 26:1, verses 4, through 6, 8, and 11, also in chapter 26, 27, 22, 28, 26, 29, 11, and 20. So chapter 29, verses 11 and 20, a number of verses deal with this. It's almost like God's trying to get our attention, but, you know, how ironic if you're trying to get the attention of a stupid person. And, so it's interesting, you know, speaking of the weaponization of these things, I think of Carl Sagan's words. You know, this idea that we celebrate ignorance, the celebration of ignorance. You know, Carlo Cipolla has his four types of people, but what if there's the willfully or boastfully stupid person? You know, I have two more types that I kind of think of, and there are some others, but, you know, the willfully, boastfully stupid person who has been sort of engineered that way and made to believe that this is something to be proud of, some kind of badge of honor. And then also the arch supervillain exploiter of the stupid, to use them as, again, you know, weapons of mass destruction and unleash them on the unwitting, the otherwise unwitting general populace. Is it possible? They are co-conspirators. But then there are the other folks, and that's where the prayer comes in, I suppose. So without further ado, we'll start there. Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against the against spiritual wickedness, which are in the high places. And on that note, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of the Spirit. Help us to pray at all times in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I also pray that no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper, that all who walk in error would come to know the truth in Christ. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray that unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice, that wickedness be brought swiftly to an end, righteousness be restored in the land, poisonous trees and their offshoots like brands and agencies, etc., conceived in malice would collapse under the weight of their own evil. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the daily prayer on this broadcast at this point is a testament to the question, who's in charge, who decides? Do we live by the courage of our convictions? We say things, but what do our feet say? So, you know, that's part of the meaning of the question and the two-part question, who's in charge, who decides? I view everything through that lens these days. And it's, you know, it's a meta-level question. Obviously, my favorite example is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 44, 45, we see this thing that to the untrained eye bears uncanny resemblance even to communism and socialism. People selling their things, they have all things in common, they're, you know, giving to one another as everyone has need. And so then you compare that to the Marxist slogan, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. Seems the same on the face of it. Sure, but the context is missing, and the context is who's in charge, who decides. And clearly, in the book of Acts, it's the Holy Spirit. That's what the the book of Acts is all about, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The birth of the church, this amazing thing. It was great that Jesus came, but you know what? He says, it's good that I go. I will send the Helper. And so for the Christian living by the courage of his or her conviction, man, that's something. But do we do that? Or do we depend on the nanny state for our daily bread? And do we depend on the allopathic medical community for our health and well-being? Do we actually live by the courage of our convictions? When it comes to what our feet do, who's in charge? Who decides? That's why the prayer. I genuinely believe that, as Brother Hutchings used to say, God is still on the throne, and it wasn't his when he started saying it, but I believe God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. I think he was right. The moment that his children stop crying out is probably the moment things, you know, all hell is unleashed. In 2 Thessalonians 2, sort of fashion. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Welcome back. All right. So before we saunter down this depressing road of history, and there's so much fodder, no shortage of fodder. Trying to focus on this day in history a little bit. Too many moving parts makes things like that difficult. Anyway, or challenging. I'm sure Julie would agree. Oh, let's see. Since today is, let me see if I can do this. Today is, on this day in history, back in 1985, this was the day that Eno Slaughter and Archie Vaughn were elected to Baseball's Hall of Fame. Most people have no idea who Eno Slaughter was. And this also happens to be the day that Lou Costello was born, back in 1906. And so, you know, maybe you remember who's on first. I think we played it once fairly recently, a little excerpt. I know I've talked about it a time or two, but Abbott and Costello's legendary Who's on First routine, I think they had it copyrighted by like 1944. If memory serves, let me see if we can find that real fast. Maybe. Yeah, by 1944, Wikipedia says by 1944, Abbott and Costello had the routine copyrighted. Needs citation, but you know, it's on Wikipedia, so it must be true. Anyway, I want to give you a couple of minutes of that legendary routine. I guess we got to wait until the next segment, I think, because we don't quite have time. No. We just missed it. So we'll do that in the next segment. But that's a fun little deal. We could play some of the rest of it, too. It's just fantastic. And the ability to pull that off. I mean, who has the talent to do that these days, to be that quick and to be that creative in writing, to be that talented to pull it off and make it seem extemporaneous and do it so many times? I think it's impressive. And I think it speaks to a bygone era to a certain extent. I mean, sure, it's bread and circus, there's no denying that, but it's a more erudite, intellectualized bread and circus, perhaps. And we've been dumbed down, but that's what happens when you feed at the trough of candy corn for too long. Eventually it will rot your brain, and it seems that's where we are. And you know what? Is it apathy or indolence? Don't know, don't care. Reminds me of Lark's three A's. Anyway, we'll get to that in the next segment. But the stupidity thing, we're going to get into that, and I think we're going to tip at that sacred cow pretty hard, because I think far too many of us are guilty as charged. I would definitely say that I'm guilty as charged to an extent. I think many of us in America are these days. How ironic that our forebears told us that we were so smart. You guys went to school for so long, we only graduated from the fifth grade or the eighth grade or whatever. Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour already. So, again, this is the day back in 1985. On this day in 1985, Eno Slaughter was elected to baseball's Hall of Fame. And also, on this day back in 1906, Lou Costello was born. So, what better way to mark the day and to offer a bit of levity before we get into, you know, before we start rolling around in the muck and mire, a bit of humor with from the legendary Who's on First routine by Abbott and Costello. A couple of minutes of that. Go ahead, please.
Costello, you should really go on a diet. Yeah, of course you know what a diet is, don't you?
Oh, sure. That's where you can eat all you want of everything you don't like. Young man, if you really want to reduce, why don't you exercise with a couple of dumbbells? Okay, I'm ready whenever you and Abbott are.
All right. Cut that out. Oh, now we've got to get your baseball equipment. Mister, do you have any bats?
Oh, certainly. Here's a fine bat. Autographed by Slaughter of the Cardinals. This bat was made for Slaughter. Ain't you got one that was made for baseball?
When he says Slaughter, he means Slaughter the baseball player.
Slaughter the baseball player? With that bet, you could slaughter anybody.
No, no, Costello, I'm talking about Slaughter. Everybody knows Slaughter. He knows Slaughter.
Well, maybe he knows Slaughter, but I don't know him.
You idiot. Everybody knows Slaughter the baseball player. Slaughter is the man's last name.
What's his first name?
He knows.
Now, there's a clever guy. He knows his first name.
Oh, look. Let's forget about the bat. Look, mister, do you have a baseball cap that will fit Costello's head?
What size pencil sharpener does he wear?
Yeah.
Oh, a baseball cap. Oh, yes, here's a dandy. This is the kind fella wears.
What fella?
The fella with the Cleveland Indians.
There's 9 players with the Cleveland Indians. Which fella are you talking about?
Oh, young man, when I say fella with the Cleveland Indians, I am only referring to one fella. The fellow that pitches for the Cleveland Indians.
When you say the fellow with the Cleveland Indians, you're only referring to one fellow. The fellow that pitches for the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah. As Orville said to Wilbur, you're right.
How do you like that? Now they're doing our routines in sporting goods stores.
Oh, forget about him, Custer. Hey, wait a minute. I've got an idea. Mrs. Wetwash's late husband used to be a big league ball player. Now, he was a home run king, in other words. Now, maybe she'll give you one of his bats for good luck. Let's go over to her house and ask her.
Oh, okay. I'll go right over now, huh? You're right, Abbott. As John Adams said to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. How do you like that? I forgot what John Adams said to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
There you go. There it is. And, you know, the rest of it is unbelievable. I mean, it's just amazing. We should probably play it at some point. But, and, you know, those are the days when you could advertise cigarette brands during the radio broadcasts. And it was syndicated for years and sold. I think I still have a cassette tape version of that floating around. And it comes complete with the advertisements. You know, the Bernaysian, just straight up, 4 out of 5 doctors prefer Camels, you know, Camel cigarettes and those kinds of fun ads. It was a more innocent time, though. The propaganda was definitely more honest, if we can put it that way, more forthcoming, forthright in its manipulation. These days, it's so subtle, so artful. There are so many ways that our minds, predispositions are weaponized to conspire against us. And that's unfortunate. I included some things in yesterday's archive that I have not published yet. But, you know, just some thoughts on cognitive bias equals weakness and vulnerability. Obviously, someone like Fred in Iowa would agree, which is ironic because, again, you know, white is not vital and essential to understanding God, to understanding God's word and what he would have us understand. The Holy Spirit is, though. So get the secret decoder ring of 1 Corinthians 2 if you don't have that. And that is predicated on Jesus Christ. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So cognitive bias equals weakness and vulnerability. Carlo Cipolla's 5 Laws of Human Stupidity is part of that. There's the Cipolla Matrix, for example. The Dark Triad personalities and the traits, the 3 traits, narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy, generally speaking. Bonhoeffer's theory of stupidity is a corollary. There was, I think I've talked about the Big Think post on this, and we've played some stuff on this in the past. Bonhoeffer's theory of stupidity, we have more to fear from stupid people than evil ones. You know, there's the idea in the dubiously attributed Cicero quote that the traitor is kind of the Trojan horse of all manner of evil. he speaks, he wears our face and speaks in our tongue and is familiar. And so we, you know, invite this Trojan horse in. However, I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer has a point, you know, and as the post, Johnny Thompson's post reads, there's an internet adage that goes, debating an idiot is like trying to play chess with a pigeon. It knocks the pieces over, craps on the board, and flies back to its flock to claim victory. It's funny and astute. It's also deeply depressing, depressingly worrying. Although we'd never say so. We all have people in our lives we think of as a bit dim, not necessarily about everything, but certainly about some things. Most of the time we laugh this off. After all, stupidity can be pretty funny, maybe. When my friend asked a group of us recently what Hitler's last name was, we laughed. When my brother learned only last month that reindeer are real animals, well, that's funny. Good-natured ribbing about a person's ignorance is an everyday part of life. Stupidity, though, has its dark side. For theologian and philosopher Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the stupid person is often more dangerous than the evil one, which again is a thought that someone like Carlo Cipolla shares. And let me just continue on the Big Think post first by Johnny Thompson. The enemy within, in comic books and action movies, we know who the villain is. They wear dark clothes, kill on a whim, and cackle madly at their diabolical scheme. And again, speaking of the weaponization of our predispositions, you could, getting back to the things that I included in my list, there's Bonhoeffer's theory of stupidity, but there's also the Dunning-Kruger effect. Effort justification. Speaking of election season, does effort justification explain why we wash our hands when we do something that doesn't amount to anything? Wearing masks comes to mind over the last few years, and other things like it. Heuristics and biases in decision making. Speaking of heuristics, attribute substitution, regression toward the mean, anchoring effect, frequency illusion, and there are a host of others that are, you know, part and parcel to this discussion. These things, the ways that, you know, with heuristics, for example, and attribute substitution, which happens in a way that we don't even realize. But, you know, if you look at the Kahneman and Tversky research, for example, on heuristics and attribute substitution, it's fascinating how our mind plays tricks on us. Maybe we'll get into that today, just because, you know, everybody insists that they cannot be gamed in these ways, but the somehow there are folks who rely on this research and this kind of information to game us, even though we insist that we can't be gamed. How ironic. So in continuing from the Big Think post, in life too, we have obvious villains, the dictators who violate human rights or serial killers and violent criminals. As evil as these people are, they are not the biggest threat since they are known. And then there's, you know, also the Stockholm Syndrome stuff, which I think plays a role far greater than most people want to admit. Continuing, once something is known, it is a known evil, the good of the world can rally to defend and fight against it. But again, speaking of Stockholm Syndrome, often the reality is the opposite, unfortunately. I digress. As Bonhoeffer puts it, one may protest against evil. It can be exposed and, if need be, prevented by use of force. Evil always carries within itself the germ of its own subversion. Stupidity, though, is a different problem altogether. We cannot so easily fight stupidity for two reasons. First, we are collectively much more tolerant of it. Yeah, we don't think of it as dangerous, typically. Most of us don't. Some of us do, though. Unlike evil, stupidity is not a vice most of us take seriously. We do not lambaste others for ignorance. We do not scream down people for not knowing things. Second, the stupid person is a slippery opponent. They will not be beaten by debate or open to reason. What's more, when the stupid person has their back against the wall, when they're confronted with the facts that cannot be refuted, they snap and lash out. Bonhoeffer puts it like this: neither protests nor the use of force accomplish anything here. Reasons fall on deaf ears. Facts that contradict one's prejudgment simply need not be believed. In such moments, the stupid person even becomes critical. How ironic. And then, you know, again, Dunning-Kruger is in full effect here. Dunning-Kruger, essentially, you know, why stupid or low ability people think they're smart. And not to be derisive, we're all guilty of this in some form, typically, if we are not aware of this paradox. So in such moments, the stupid person even becomes critical, and when facts are irrefutable, they are just pushed aside as inconsequential and incidental. In all this, the stupid person, in contrast to the malicious one, is utterly self-satisfied, and being easily irritated becomes dangerous by going on the attack. Again, Proverbs has much to say about this. With great power comes great stupidity. Stupidity, like evil, is no threat as long as it hasn't got power. We laugh at things when they are harmless, such as my brother's ignorance of reindeer. This won't cause me any pain, therefore it's funny. The problem with stupidity, though, is that it often goes hand in hand with power. Bonhoeffer writes, upon closer observation, it becomes apparent that every strong upsurge of power in the public sphere, be it of a political or a religious nature, infects a large part of humankind with stupidity. Obviously, he witnessed this in uncharacteristic fashion. Or at least we might call it that for the purposes of our illustration here. This works in two ways. The first is that stupidity does not disbar you from holding office or authority. History and politics are swimming with examples of when the stupid have risen to the top and where the smart are excluded or killed. Second, the nature of power requires that people surrender certain faculties necessary for intelligent thought, faculties like independence, critical thinking, and reflection. Bonhoeffer's argument is that the more someone becomes part of the establishment, the less an individual they become. This, of course, is synonymous with the communitarian bent. And so there is, you know, therein lies the rub, as they say. I mean, this is a terrible irony here. A charismatic, exciting outsider bursting with intelligence and sensible policies becomes imbecilic the moment he takes office. It's as if slogans, catchwords, and the like have taken possession of him. He is under a spell, blinded, misused, and abused in his very being, which of course is an additional quote of Bonhoeffer. Power turns people into automatons. Intelligent, critical thinkers now have a script to read. And it's fascinating how the machine just sort of takes on a life of its own, the Bernaysian influence machine. This is what you have to do. The image makers say, this is how you do this. They'll engage their smiles rather than their brains. When people join a political party, it seems like most choose to follow suit rather than think things through. Power drains the intelligence from a person, leaving them akin to an animated mannequin, a homunculus, you might say, for someone or something else to reanimate. And that's ironic, isn't it? That people surrender to that influence, because again, the image makers and those who influence the influencers, they shout, this is how it works. Like carnival barkers, this is, you have to do it this way. And if you don't, well, your constituents won't listen to you and you won't get reelected. So, again, who's in charge? Who decides? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Signal.
come back. So, to finish this piece, Johnny Thompson's Big Think post on Bonhoeffer's theory of stupidity. We have more to fear from stupid people than evil ones. We talked about the FDR slogan, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Maybe not so much. Talked about that on Monday. So to finish the post, theory of stupidity. Bonhoeffer's argument then is that stupidity should be viewed as worse than evil. Stupidity has far greater potential to damage our lives. More harm is done by one powerful idiot than a gang of Machiavellian schemers. What happens when the Machiavellian schemers unleash the gang of idiots, though, on the population? We know when there's evil, and we can deny it power. Can we, though? It's interesting. That's something to think about as well. With the corrupt, oppressive, and sadistic, we know where they stand. Not always, though, because again, speaking of the honesty of the advertisements, we should play some of those from Abbott and Costello. The cigarette, the Bernaysian cigarette ads in radio. 4 out of 5 doctors prefer the cool taste of Camels, you know, the mild taste of Camel, I think, or something like that. Versus now, you know, I've said for quite a while, you can watch the black and white Western television series from the 50s, for example, and see on the face of it, even the bad guys are good. There is the subtle, there is the influence behind the overt. There is that. I would argue there's less of it, and because of the overt, the covert has less influence than, you know, versus today where even the good guys are bad. There are no good guys. It's just shades of, you know, we are immersed today in the anti-hero. Shades of gray. Trending toward darkness. Speaking of alluding, hinting at Jean Baudrillard. Anyway, we'll talk more specifically about the issue of the stupid person in the second hour. Don't be stupid. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.